Bernie Moreno is looking out for himself, not us. Moreno is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Moreno has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Vote and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. The bye week is done. We are back. No more bye weeks the rest of the year. I hope you guys enjoyed your weekend. Your weekend off.
With no Lions boring. Football.
Yeah, it's not the same. It's not the same.
I sustained myself on Lions highlights.
Let's, we're going to be diving into this upcoming game here. First, I want to recap kind of things that happened while we were gone, and then we will dive into this Lions-Cowboys game. But before we do that, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I am Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Rud Dog.
Yo!
Bob.
What's up, gang?
And UJ.
Greetings and salutations.
All right, gentlemen, listeners, the Lions coming off the bye week did not get any help from the NFC North. One of the teams in the NFC North won last week. The Bears just demolished the Carolina Panthers 36-10. Bears fans they seem to have some positive vibes going right now. I'm sure that'll be quickly
they'll be
a little bit once they're not playing the Panthers every week.
DeAndre Swift's cooking over there.
Yeah. They're probably the best team ever right now for this moment in time, though. Like, I'm sure all the Bears fans, oh, they're so great. Hey, to be fair, he looked good. Williams looked good.
Yeah. And then the Packers, they go on the road to the Rams. KJ, your Rams, they lose again. 24-19, the Packers pull it out, despite Jordan Love throwing a pick six in his own end zone.
Sorry, Kid Jay. Sorry about that, buddy.
It's going to be a long year. With all
I think
injuries.
We broke your team. Sorry, but the Lions just kind of.
And then Minnesota traveled to London, where they defeated the New York Jets, who fired their coach, Robert Saleh. Maybe a future Lions defensive coordinator, Robert Saleh, if Aaron Glenn ever gets hired as a head coach somewhere.
Kind of an interesting firing, don't you think? I mean,
five games into the season, they're only one game out of the division.
Some people are saying it's political. Some people say Aaron Rodgers got him fired, and he was wearing a Lebanon flag on his,
the one guy that does those funny skits online.
There's so many theories. Like Aaron Rodgers, I don't know. A lot of theories.
I'd be surprised if it was that. I mean, I heard Aaron Rodgers talking about him, and it sounded like he was supportive of the guy.
That's because he's a devious man. No,
I mean, that's what I thought, too. Like,
who knows? I
put the blame for that team on Rodgers, though.
Yeah, right.
Set them back. They got all his people in there. They're still not winning.
Yeah.
Right. So. I mean, that offense coordinator is horrendous for the Jets. He got fired after 1 year for the Broncos because their offense was anemic. And then the Jets said, let's bring him over here for 3 years.
Didn't turn into like a Broncos with Peyton situation. This is not... Not that.
You know, if they hired Jim Bob Cooter, they could turn it all around.
Maybe.
Really
maybe they will.
Yeah, he's just known to make that happen.
Anyways, getting back to the Detroit Lions, it looks like some people got healthy while we were gone, with the exception of Derek Barnes, who looks like he will probably be out for the entire year. He will not be coming back unless there's a medical miracle that occurs, Dan Campbell said.
Yeah. That blows, but next man up.
It really sucks, but like you said, next man up. But man, yeah, it really sucks. You know, I before I get into all that, I think I sent you guys an interesting trade proposal. The Lions give up this year's fourth and a fourth in 2026 for Trayvon Walker. What do you guys think of that? What a turn of events that would be.
Can you imagine that would be a fascinating trade, though. That would be.
Yeah, that would.
That would be.
He played a very small role, like Davenport was doing for us, and he's healthier and younger.
Built similarly, too.
Built similarly. I think that would be fascinating. Now, the Jaguars need to keep losing, probably, for that to happen. But it's very interesting.
By week, we're seeing all those fake Max Crosby to the Lions things going around.
Yeah. Oh, well, that would be a dream, but...
There's so much of that stuff going around the internet, you know. Oh, this trade, people just making this stuff up to get likes. It's just ridiculous.
So it was a slow week last week.
Yeah. I actually think Crosby could afford it. I think they could afford a salary, but I don't think there's any chance the Raiders get rid of him. He's like the face of that franchise.
Absolute multitude of reasons that won't happen. Like, he's the kind of guy you build a franchise around in the first place. So unless that, as an organization, the Raiders are just that bad. Maybe they're that bad. They just need to start over, but. I don't think that's happening. That dude's a monster, and like, he wants to build the team. Not every star player is willing to put in the time in the downtimes.
Now, his name is floated around every so often, especially on this podcast.
Everyone
we all love him. But in this instance, over the bye week, Max Crosby is the one that started these conversations, because on his own podcast, he said his favorite team that he wanted to play for, if it wasn't the Raiders, is the Lions. So that is what started the conversation up.
And did he say if him and Davante Adams are a pair if they trade him? Like,
did he say
that? Oh, I didn't see that.
I saw that.
Hey, look,
somewhere.
There's his name floating around.
If you're watching this on YouTube at DTBK underscore Lions, UJ just floated a piece of paper across the screen.
You don't have to explain the joke to everybody.
Well, we're a podcast and a video platform, so I need to explain it. Otherwise, I have no idea what you're referring to.
UJ is in Detroit this week, and he did. I don't know if you guys think this is strange or not, but he drove to Allen Park just to like see the building.
Yeah, I did.
Is that like when Elvis fans go to like Graceland?
And then he paid homage. You know?
Hey, look, it was only 8 miles away from my hotel, and I had to go to a Best Buy, which was about 2 miles from the actual facility. I thought, what the hell? I'm just going to drive by it, you know, see if I can go in. Yeah, I couldn't. It's pretty light. It's like Fort Knox over there. Razor wire.
You're having an appointment with Dan Campbell? Like, what do you mean you don't have me on the schedule?
Well, I know someone that didn't have an appointment with Dan Campbell but made an appointment with him was Frank Ragnow. Apparently, Dan Campbell walked in the building, Ragnow pinned him against the wall and said, look, I'm fine. I'm perfectly healthy. I could play, because it seems like he wanted to play before the game before the bye week, and they held him back. But it seems like if he was on the edge before, he's full practice participant today.
I heard a different version of that story.
He said he punched him.
He said he was like talking to the trainers, and he just got like shoved really hard from behind and didn't know who it was at first. And he was like kind of ignored it, and then just kept talking to the trainer, and then got shoved really hard again. And he like, what the? He's like, see, I'm fine. either version's really funny. I love that Ragnow is like, that's how he communicates that he's fine, by physically pressing Dan.
And then great. Campbell turned around and threw hands right away.
Yeah, they fought.
See, this is great. Those are the type of stories that get embellished over time.
Oh yeah.
So you tell the grandkids someday.
Oh yeah, they'll be talking about it, you know, after they win the Super Bowl, and you know, the stories throughout that season.
Yeah.
But
Campbell's like the kind of guy where that actually means something too. Like if like Mike, what's his name, and Mike Daniels in Miami is your coach, it's just not going to be worth as much when you shove him around because he's so little.
Yeah.
Right.
Dan's no little man. He's a big boy.
Well, a couple other news items. Brian Branch was a full practice participant, so it looks like he's passed any sickness and concussion that he had. So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good news. Nobody else like Rakestra, Anzalone, or Mandrake, McNeil, Skipper, Laporta. No injury listed for those guys. So
any that's good signings.
Yeah. Hey, one other one I want to mention, even though he won't be playing in the game, is that Mahogany's back and he's on the 21 day, what do they call it? The
evaluation period.
Evaluation period. Thank you. Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah, he's got 19 days left. They said no. I mean, lines are pretty deep,
wasn't it?
And the offensive line, so there's no guarantee he makes the roster. And,
it was Mono, right?
Mono, yeah, yes.
Mono.
Yeah. Weird.
But you know, he was a draft pick, and that's just significant. So I just needed to mention that.
Hey,
nope, I was getting to it, but he beat me to it. So
sorry
there you
about
go.
That.
I like it. No, I like
more
it.
More depth
like
is
it.
Always good.
I mentioned Derek Barnes. That was probably the only other update.
Any iffy sightings?
He's not eligible to return until week 9 because he's on the IR. So
we won't be seeing
him for a while.
Yeah. Oh, I guess I didn't realize he got.
Emmanuel Mosley is eligible to return at any time. I don't know when we'll see him, if at all this year. But that's probably the only other slight.
If that man finds like update. A successful career going forward, he's going to be like one of the modern marvels of medical science. like no one should be able to come back from that many major surgeries. And still be
well, he's kind of like our, you know, our Irish receiver, Tim Patrick. You know, Tim Patrick missed that's two true. Whole years of football. This will be a 3 for Mosley, though, I believe. So anyway, kind of similar stories, though.
He was kinda. Born in Dublin, right?
Yeah, I think. I don't know.
Though sure. I don't know if anyone's got the as bad as what E-Man's had because, like, what it's been like one play every time before he's already like back on the IR. Like he's like, that man cannot stay healthy for even like 5 seconds in this season.
It's it's brutal.
Brutal.
It's brutal.
Yeah, it's hard.
But that really wraps it up as far as newsworthy things, I would say. Otherwise, it was pretty chill. And the Vikings and Chiefs remain the only two unbeaten teams in the NFL. They're both 5-0. The Vikings and the Lions are going to have a fun battle in a week from now when the Lions travel to Minnesota on October 20th.
Wait, there was one other thing, Z.
Okay.
It was Penei Sewell's birthday, and it was his 24th birthday. Now, just put that in perspective. What year is this for him? His third? Or He's only 24, dude. It's just
crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I didn't get invited to the party, so I'm sorry. I have nothing to report there. But anyway, I just want to throw that in there.
Come on, Sewell.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, Penei.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, happy birthday.
So let's get into this game now. The Lions will be traveling to Dallas. Of course, this is a revenge game for the Lions, right? The controversial ending. I guarantee you when Dan Skipper reports eligible in this upcoming game, the announcers are going to be mentioning what happened last year because he reports eligible at least once a game. So
you think they're going to wait till that?
Going to go all the way back. What's that?
I said, you think they'll wait till he reports eligible?
Probably not.
Bring it up?
It was very controversial. Obviously, you know, they did or didn't report him eligible. You know, it's hard to tell what actually happened.
Just
but
more great officiating by the NFL crews.
Taylor Decker scores the go ahead 2-point conversion, but they say it did not count because Skipper did not report as eligible. Whatever, but it's not a revenge game nonetheless. I think that pissed off the Lions, and I love that they get a revenge early in the season against the Cowboys team that's pretty banged up, and even when they're healthy, has not looked too great, to be honest with you. This is a team that is missing a ton of people, especially in the secondary, if the Lions want to attack. Now, they're getting some people back. Deron Bland, Trevon Diggs, they're all back this week, actually. They've been out for 3 weeks. So they're getting a little healthier than they've been the last couple weeks with one of the worst defenses in the NFL. But Micah Parsons might not be playing on Sunday. That'd be a big loss for them.
Oh, that's your guy.
I wish he was. Honestly, I get you got to go through your little things and give like the lay of the land here, but like these injuries couldn't mean less to me, like in terms of what the Lions are going to do. Like, I wish Parsons was out there. I wish all their best guys were out there because we're going to steamroll them anyway. And that's what the Lions are thinking. I don't think think about it this way, too. It was such a big deal when Tampa had their third string secondary. That was our worst passing game of the season. I mean, it just, that doesn't mean enough to me, like, to be that worried about it one way or the other. Like, you say that's going to be their weakness. Watch them have a great day in the air, and then, like, we tear them up on the ground. Like, like you said, it's the
Have the whole JUCO team come out on minimum contracts, let them play.
Hey, man, it's the NFL. It's the NFL, man. Next man up. And
well, I think that's just a ridiculous statement, but
okay. You also see addition by subtraction, like, all the time, where a great player is out. Now a team has to rally and work better as a team, and they play even better, kind of like Tampa did against us.
Happens every day.
I mean, that's all I'm saying. But hey, look, I get it. You got to give.
Wait till Mahomes gets hurt. They're going to be so good. You know, the Chiefs, they're going to be so good when Mahomes gets hurt, because that's when the backup guys
will probably be still good. Better. I didn't say better. Hey, man.
I mean, is your argument that, like, the good, even like for the Lions, like, the Lions shouldn't be paying any of the good players top money? We should just, like, pay players minimum contracts, and because it doesn't matter who's in there. I just don't understand your argument, I guess, here.
The point is, the Lions are going to go out there and play their football, and they're going to enforce their will, and they're going to play the game they came to play. Maybe it has a little bit of where who's hurt. Maybe they want to try those areas for prodding their defense, but it don't matter, because in the end of the day, it's got to go out and execute our football. If they play their game, they can beat anybody.
But this is why it does matter, because I think who's hurt and who's out on the field affects the game plan for Detroit. In this case, Emmanuel Warrior has been out there the past couple weeks, and he is just getting absolutely, like he was with the Lions, just getting beat downfield constantly.
Roster building doesn't even matter. You know, in this, it's just the coaching.
I think
it's
getting out of hand.
I think you all are not following mine, but that's all right.
But anyways, like, not with the Lions cornerback or with the Cowboys cornerbacks getting healthy, I think maybe that takes away a couple more deep shots to the Lions to try with JMO, and they go over the middle a little more, et cetera. So I do think there's implications there.
I don't know
if he's going to stick around or not. I mean, he's a big liability out there if you've watched. I mean, we've watched him for the past couple of years. He hasn't really changed as a player. He's just...
He's never been a perfect corner. I think he's like a solid, like, depth guy, because he can go out there and get an interception for you every once in a while.
It will be good to go against Awarie, in my opinion, if he's out there. Now it seems like he probably will just be in there if no one else gets injured, one of these guys
maybe back.
But Mike Parsons being out would be huge. This is a Cowboys team that ranks in the bottom half of the league against the run, especially against the run. That's where Lions really are going to play. I think they run it 65% of the time in this game. I think they're just going to absolutely try to demolish the defense line. That is, they have, like, several players on IR. They've gone to the practice squad several times, the defense line. Now with Micah Parsons out, they are extremely, extremely thin. This will be kind of like what the Lions are doing against the Seahawks in a lot of ways. I see a lot of similarities there, at least in terms of the weakness that we see from Dallas. And if Micah Parsons is out, it's very similarly talented and like, as in very little talent, because Dexter Lawrence is hurt for the Cowboys, et cetera. So the Lions really just got to own the offensive line here and just annihilate this team off the ball. And I think they're going to. I don't know if you guys have any other.
You know why, Z? Because that's what we do. It don't matter who's across the ball.
All right, so give me some game plan stuff then. Rudd Dog, what are the Lions going to do in this game against the Cowboys?
Dominate.
All right, UJ, what do you think the Lions are going to do?
I tend to agree with you. I think they're going to lean on the run kind of heavily in this game. I think they just want to just establish their dominance on the line. That they're going to run, like you say, at least 60% of the time, I think. If we do that, we're going to just wipe this team out. I don't see how we don't, to be honest with you. But, definitely favor the run. But it's going to open up a lot of play action. We'll see a few big pass plays, too. Goff will have a decent game and all that. But the play action will be very effective in this game, because our run game is going to be, I think they're going to be very effective in this game. Especially, I don't know why, but I'm not exactly sure why, but I think Gibbs is just going to have a really good game this week.
Ooh, I like that.
I think this is kind of, this could be his breakout game for the year. He's been solid all year, but he hasn't really like exploded, if you will. And I think this is the week for him to do it.
We like it. How about you, Bob? What do you, either side of the ball, offense or defense?
Yeah. Well, offensively, I think we're going to kind of keep doing what we're doing. I want to make my Laporta my roar of the week, but I still think they're going to just kind of use him more sparingly because they got it cooking now. They're using Wright more in the pass game. They're not getting as many yards out of it, but they're opening things up around the field, and the whole offense is working pretty well. So I think they're going to kind of continue what they're doing on the offense. But defensively, I think they're going to do a little more blitzing this game because Dak, when he's getting smacked around, that really throws him off his game. But I think they'll get some pressure on him. I think they're going to emphasize that. Dak, though, I'm not a Dak fan at all, but that game against Pittsburgh, he showed a little grit in that one. I was surprised.
Credit where credit's due. So,
Bob, I was listening to a guy talk about it. Actually, statistically, maybe if he's getting hit, but this was when he's facing pressure, when people are getting his face, that's when he's most effective, Dak. He's actually really bad in a clean pocket. Like, he's not a good clean pocket quarterback, but when he's getting pressure, that's when he makes things happen. It's really weird. Not that, like, that's not counting for hitting, like you said, but it's I just thought that was interesting, a little tidbit in general. And I'm curious to see how, like, if the Lions will you do anything about that, like maybe a more disciplined pass rush or something, not get too worried about sending pressure. I don't know.
Toughness, did you guys see that thing where every time a team plays the Lions this year, the next week they get crushed. Yes. Everyone's so beat up when they play the Lions because the Lions are so physical. They like wear these teams out.
I won my I got in the money on the confidence pool based on that. I picked against the Seahawks because I didn't feel good about it other than betting on that trend, and it held. I was like, let's go.
That's similar to what the 49ers have been the past couple of years after teams played them and then they lose the following week. So I like to see that's kind of cool to see those results. I mean, Rud Dog. So the Cowboys have CeeDee Lamb, Jake Ferguson, and then their wide receivers after that kind of fall off. Jalen Tolbert's been a pretty good second wide receiver for them. And then Rico Dowdle is their running back, and Ezekiel Elliott is their backup running back. But they are the worst running team in the NFL, even after last week against the Steelers, where they managed 84 yards on the ground. They doubled their highest production last week.
That's wild.
So they've been really, 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 really bad as a running unit. And they have a rookie left tackle who is coming off an injury, potentially, in Jalen and Tyler Guyton, although it looks like he's a full practice participant. Participant today, but against the Steelers, he was getting called for holding left and right. If Hutch can line up against him, that's great. Although he plays on the left side, but maybe they'll line up Hutch against him if possible. But this is an average offensive line. They are very bad scheming right now, running the ball. Do you like the Lions' defense matchup with this Cowboys offense?
No, Z, I don't like it. I really feel like I love it.
Yeah.
no, I do. I mean, I just think I like our defense versus most teams right now. I think, I know we're not a perfect defense, but we're kind of becoming what at least we've been hoping for a long time, which is an explosive and a game changing defense. We make big plays. We might give up some, but we make big plays on defense now. Like, we've wanted that for years. And, I mean, I think last year we would have won that game if not for some fluky stuff. Like, maybe Barnes will be an addition by subtraction this week because he won't whiff on a safety. Or sorry, that was low blow. But that play really frustrated me last year. I like the matchup. I think that if they have to pass a lot, I think our secondary is too talented to do that. I mean, we've shown it. Every time teams have to pass a ton on us, it becomes really hard. We might give up yards, but...
Yeah, you know, Kirby's hoping they air it out. Because when teams air it out, man, you're hungry for those picks.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
I'm Brian Branch. Hey, as a note, do you remember what CeeDee Lamb's stats were in the game against us last year?
Fucking ridiculous.
Like 170 yards.
17 times, 13 catches, 227 yards, and a touchdown.
Ridiculous.
Insane.
Caught half the team.
A touchdown that should have been a safety. Ridiculous.
Yeah. Hey, Z, going back to the offensive line just for a second, their right tackle is Terrence Steele, who has not been having a great year. And Hutch got 3 sacks against Dallas last year going against him. So, you know, you were talking about him playing on the right side against the rookie, but he could have just as much success on the
left side. No, Guyton is the left side too. So Steele is the right side.
That's good for Pascal then.
Yeah, so the offensive right side. But I'm
time for Pascal to
either
step
way.
Up.
It doesn't matter which side he lines up on.
And UJ sack last week, so you know he's hungry for sacks, man.
Yeah, it doesn't matter which side he lines up on and who's across from him because he's freaking Aiden Hutchinson. That's why it doesn't matter, UJ. It don't matter what injury situation they got there. Hutch is gonna feast because he's a monster.
That's scary.
Well, it's Halloween almost. Monsters are welcome.
Monsters Inc. Great movie.
Yeah.
Monster House.
Hutch would make all the kids scream if he came out of their closet. He'd be charging Monster Town forever.
All right. So let's get to our ever famous prediction segments. So, of course, we have our two prediction segments. Our first one is our Roar of the Week, and our second is the pregame predictions. So let's start with our Roar of the Week. That, of course, is not necessarily the player with the best stats, but the player that has the biggest impact overall on the game. So let's throw this over to you, Rud Dog. Who is your Roar of the Week?
I'm just going to keep rolling on topic then. I'm going with Aiden Hutchinson because maybe we do blitz. I don't know, but I think he's going to make it moot by just being an absolute terror this game. I think, last year, teams had a better way of like kind of keeping him out of their backfield, at least enough. You know, he was always winning pressures, but not quite getting off for the sacks. I think that's kind of a thing of the past. I think he's going to be not just pressuring Dak Prescott. He's going to be hitting him quite a bit in this game. And a few of those times he's going to have the ball in his hands. I'm calling for 3 sacks from Aiden. He's going to also get a nice little pick sixy off of a little screen. He's going to drop into coverage and take it to the house. Aiden Hutchinson's going to be my roar of the week.
All right. Beautiful. That's a good pick. Good pick. All right, Bob.
My roar of the week. I'm going to go offense this time. I think I think the Lions like playing in the stadium. First of all, they want revenge on Cowboys because we lost to them for like 4 in a row or whatever. And the Lions, they love the big stage. And this is like the big national game this week.
Tom Brady announcing. Game.
Yeah, so this is like the afternoon, which according to Campbell, that's the best time to play because you get that national game, but you get to bed early.
Yeah.
So anyway, I think that the Lions, they're so good on the big stage, man. This team, now the last couple of years, they love the big stage, and this is the big stage, even though Dallas is not great, but it's a big game, and I think they're gonna be awesome. They're gonna do their whole thing with the line, and they're gonna be running the hell out of the ball, and that's gonna open things up. We'll have a pretty balanced offense, but it's gonna be led by that run, and so I'm gonna go Monty. I think he's the hot hand right now. I'm sure Gibbs is going to get his yards too, but I think Monty's got the hot hand. He might break one and have a big run. So, and I think they'll get a lot of yards on the ground. So, David Montgomery is my roar of the week.
Nice. Hey, Bob, is Monty so hot right now? Like
Zoolander.
Oh man, thank you.
So hot.
Hansel is so hot right now.
All right, UJ.
Okay. Guys, I'm thinking we're outgrowing this segment a little bit because I almost think we should do an offensive and defensive roar of the week because our team is becoming so well-rounded. And I really struggled with this one this week because I can pick people from both sides of the ball that I think are just going to be awesome.
You can't pick the entire team, UJ.
But since I'm not doing that, but I'm just, just going by what our rules are at the time. I'm going to go with one guy, and I'm going to agree with Rud Dog on this one. It's going to be Aiden Hutchinson. I also had him down for 3 sacks in this game. He's going to be a holy terror in there. Dak Prescott is going to have nightmares for weeks after this game, and he's going to be haunted by it. It might even ruin his career.
Halloween.
Possibly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, he's going to be my Aiden Hutchinson, just going to tear it up, and he's my roar of the week.
Little kids are going to show up in Hutch jerseys on Halloween at his house, and he's going to be like, ah!
That was a little more subdued roar this week, UJ.
Ooh, sorry. I'm working that.
He figured Dak's already going to be scared enough. He didn't need to hear
it. Well, I'm going to go with somebody that has had an up and down start to the season, but I think after the bye week, I think he's going to watch a little more film and get ready for this game in prime time. I think he's going to have an interception in this game. His name is Terrion Arnold. Ooh. I think he steps up big time this game. I want to see him on. I want to see him. I don't know if he will be up a ton. They'll probably put Carlton Davis on him most of the time, but I want to see Terrion Arnold on CeeDee Lamb at least a couple times in this game. See what he's made of already against arguably the league's top three receiver in the league. So it'd be a really fun matchup. I think Terrion Arnold gets an interception in this game, and maybe a pass deflection or two along the way, or we just don't hear his name because he's completely covering his guy. Or they're just throwing at CeeDee Lamb at will against Carlton Davis. One of the two. But either way, Terrion Arnold is my roar of the week.
I think if they're throwing at will to CeeDee, then we'll definitely get to see Terrion Arnold.
Yeah, sure. They'll switch
as well.
All right. Yeah, because like, that was Cam Sutton role last year, right? And obviously that wasn't working out too well. So,
and last week, they did kind of put Carlton mostly on what's his face. But it's arguable if Metcalf's their most dangerous weapon on that team, so I don't know if that really says anything.
Definitely their biggest deep downfield weapon.
Speaking of the last year's secondary, how about Gardner Johnson on the Eagles now? CD Deuce?
Yeah, what about him?
Whatever. But he's terrible this year. He's getting burned all the time. He sucks.
Yeah, he was only average for us last year at best. So
yeah. He talks a big game, but he's washed, man.
The way his season ended up going, like, it would have been cool if he came in, played like a big role, and was really successful. But like, as it went otherwise, I'm okay with it. his energy was already a little unsettling. I'm okay. Bye, CD. You're kind of a CD guy.
Yeah, one and done.
You name yourself CD, so you know I kind of feel like you're a little CD.
All right, so let's get now to the game. I want to pull up the most live odds right here. All right, so obviously this game is a 3:25 Central, 4:25 Eastern kickoff in Dallas. The Lions going down to Dallas. Big revenge game, big revenge game. This is a 3-point spread. The Lions are favored by 3 in this game. The over-under is 52 points. All right, so let's get into it now. Let's give our ever famous predictions. Ooh. And I want to start with Bob.
All right, I love this matchup. The refs, we always play. Oh yeah, I forgot my wife told me to mention that about how she's down in Texas right now putting the bad juju on the
good like
and my daughter, they're down there doing that. So how the refs always screw us against the Cowboys. And
yes,
that is something to look for in this game because it happens all the fucking time. But I like this matchup. Our offense is doing really well right now. So I want to say our offense is doing so well. You know, we can score 45 points or something. But I think the kind of offense they're going to run, they're going to just be grinding it out on the ground, short pass game, and try to grind out the clock on offense. So I see the win in 31-13. And so they're going to get a touchdown, and they're going that kicker they have is awesome. He's kicked 265-yard field goals against us. And that's going to be their offense. And I like your Terrion Arnold thing. I think they're going to take shots at him, you know, to test him because the refs are flagging him all the time. So they're going to try it out. So it's going to be a good challenge for him. But I think he'll step up to the plate.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So
what did I say? 31-13.
31-13 Lions.
I like it. Bob.
Let's go.
All right. Rud Dog.
Yeah.
I have one question. How do you get 13 from field goals?
There was a touchdown and two field goals.
Oh, I missed it. Okay. My bad. My bad, Bob. All right. My turn. I like this matchup as well. I think we filled in the holes last year that made games like this more questionable. I don't think they're going to be able to score very many points against us. I think our secondary is going to play very well. Maybe CD gets a few. You know, I'm not saying it's the NFL. Like, it's just defenses, it's got stacked against them. But I think our offense is going to be a mix of explosive and ball control, much like we saw last week against the Seahawks. I think we will have several drives where we just cram it down their throat for some, you know, long running drives. But I also expect J-Mo to break loose again this year against them. We hit him deep last year for one, but I think he's going to go for a whole tutty on this one at least once. And I'm calling for 45 points from our offense. Or no, from our offense, yes. And then it's going to be 7 more points from Aiden's pick 6 for 52 points from the Lions team as a whole versus 1 field goal from the Cowboys. I don't think they're going to score a touchdown. I think this defense is going to step up. I think the guys we've added make it too good. And I think Dak's going to be in running for his life most of the day and not finding targets. So 52-3, Detroit Lions win a resounding victory. The refs can't do shit about it.
All right, there you go. So there's 2 for the Lions. 2 for the Lions. Let's throw this over to UJ.
Well, to continue this trend, I'm also going to be picking the Lions in this game. But this game is more than who's in the game, who's out of the game, stats, and you know, Micah Parsons. That's meaningless to me. This game's personal for Campbell and stuff. This, bringing up my analogy of last week, is another dragon to be slain by Dan Campbell. And this team is in on it, man. They want it just as bad as Dan does. They haven't beaten Dallas yet since he's been there. And they want this so bad they can taste it, man. They want it so bad. And now this team is playing really well together as an offense. As a defense, it just seems to be getting a little better each week. The secondary is improving every week. But this is lining up to be a destruction of Dallas on their home field. And I think the final score is going to be 42-13. Ooh, by the end of this game, we're going to have 40 points more than, or we're going to have 40 points plus 2 weeks in a row. And and then by the end of this game, you're going to see a demoralized Cowboy team that's just going to be beaten up and out of this game. That fourth quarter is going to be meaningless to them, and because they won't even be close. It's just going to be more than a 2-score lead by then.
Calling Hooker time.
Yeah, maybe. Bending
Hooker.
But I see it as a thoroughly one-sided
game. Get hookers
game
after the game.
Yeah, that's what about. I was talking about, Bob. I don't know what Z's talking about.
I was clarifying.
Is that like incentive or something? I don't know. But anyway, that's my prediction. 42.
I love when you guys use your exaggerated prediction. Sound like Cowboys and an old Western.
That's based on your voice. But
yeah, that's it. We're copying you.
Nah,
UJ, you have like some that art skills. You should, you're doing this Dragon Slayer Campbell thing.
I already got an idea,
draw
brother.
It and put it on our Instagram, Drink the Blue Kool-Aid Instagram. Put a
already working
out.
Right. We'll be looking for that. Check the Instagram because he's a really good artist.
Yeah, because pretty soon there's not going to be any more dragons to be slain except for one. And that's the Super Bowl.
Soon enough, that'll be slain.
Of them all. All right.
It will be slain.
So there we go. That's 3 for the Lions. Producer Kid J, I want to hear your prediction for the game.
My prediction is that the Lions will win 27-21. They're going to get revenge.
Ooh. All right. Well, there you have it. An under 27-21 Lions from Producer Kid J. Alrighty, so I'm going to go with 34-17 Lions. I think they match up extremely well. The only thing that they'll stop them from scoring is that they just have so much ball control time and they take a long time to score some of these touchdowns because they're just marching methodically down the field. But I do think that they will own this run game and that will open up some deep passes, especially for J-Mo against a suspect secondary. Like we saw Rashid Shaheed of the Saints.
Say that to him.
The top of the defense off of this against this Cowboys defense. I expect something similar from J-Mo a couple times, or at least one time in this game. I just think we match up extremely well. The Cowboys did not improve this offseason. The Lions did in a lot of ways. And I really like our matchup this week. I think 3 points is too low. So I'll be taking the Lions in this game handily. And touchdowns, I'm going to say one from Monty, one from Gibbs, one from J-Mo, two from Monty. So there's four touchdowns and then the two field goals from Jake Bates. So there you have it.
All right.
And we have yet all again picked the Lions as victors this week.
Oh, wow. Shocking.
All right, gentlemen, I think that's going to wrap it up for us here on the podcast, listeners. Before we head out, I want, of course, to point out and thank our producer. For crushing it every single
he's
week.
The best. He's the best
of the season. No one's ever going to keep you back. If you are listening to us on the podcast, thank you. You can, if you want to catch us on YouTube, it's at DTBK_Lions, or just type in Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. You can subscribe and be alerted when we have a new video up or when we go live in some cases, etc. Hit us up on there. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter /X at Drinking Lions. And then, of course, Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please subscribe, please download, and please leave a review if possible. And of course, we have our Gmail, which every once in a while we do get a message from a listener. That's drinkingthebluekoolaid@gmail.com. Pretty simple. Pretty simple. As long as you know that Kool-Aid has a K.
No dash.
No dash, no nothing. No nonsense. No nonsense. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up for us here on the pod. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We will be back most likely on Tuesday, releasing an episode on Tuesday, reacting to this demolishing of the Cowboys, the revenge of the Cowboys. So thank you for listening, and last but not least, as always,
go. Charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.